Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to another sexy, unique episode of the Sexy Unique Podcast. Before I get started, I have a few announcements that I need to make. Number one is that I have 870 patrons on Patreon, and that is incredible for a variety of reasons. Number one, if you are a patron of the Sex Unique Podcast, you are currently getting access to a patron-only season of this podcast where I recap season one of Vanderpump Rules with a variety of hysterical Lawler guests. And there's one episode up right now going over the pilot with my friend Ed Drosty. It's major. It's like almost 2 hours long. We watched the first episode of Vanderpump Rules and then just like dug into every single thing about the pilot. And that is available on Patreon. A new episode is going up on Monday with Simon Haas, an artist and a pumphead, getting into season one, episode two. And I will just be continuing every Monday to update the Patreon with a new episode of Sup. So the only way that you can access it is if you become a patron. And when I get to 1,000 patrons, I'm going to do an entire season recapping season two of Vanderpump Rules. So as if you didn't have enough incentive, there's some more for you. The greatest thing is for as little as $1 per episode of Sexy Unique Podcast, you will have access to not only the season one recaps, but also tons of bonus episodes. There's weekly bonus episodes. There's a ton of other levels that you can come in on as a patron, but $1 gets you in. So if this intrigues you, check it out. It's www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it's there that you will get all the info you need to become a supporter of the pod. The Patreon is incredible not only for the fact that it allows me to make tons of content about my favorite show on television, Vanderpump Rules, but it also has allowed me the resources to create other podcasts. And one of those podcasts is a new one that I started. I launched it last week. It's called Saving Sex and the City 3. And I highly, highly encourage you to go check it out and listen to the first episode. Basically, I cannot live in a world where Sex and the City 3 doesn't exist. So I'm creating a new plot for the movie with a very funny guest every single episode. For the time being, new episodes of Saving Sex and the City 3 are going to be posted on a bi-weekly basis. So the next one will go up on May 16th. So go check it out, subscribe, give me 5 stars, leave a stellar review. I promise you it's packed to the gills with lols and you won't be disappointed. I think that about covers it as far as my announcements go. And to bring it back around to the patrons, you are the reason that I do what I do. You are the reason that I made Saving Sex and the City 3. And I just am eternally grateful for your support. It's awesome. And again, if you want to get in on the action, very, very simple. www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And now, without further ado, I give you this week's episode of Sup. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, like Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, here we both win. Hotel chilling, yeah, she's...
Hello again, and welcome back to another beautiful episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I have a very special guest today, another pumphead all the way from New York. I'm so thrilled to have her on the show. It's Katie Notopoulos, the senior editor at BuzzFeed News. Did I do that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Oh my God, you're literally the first person I've successfully introduced and like haven't botched the name or the job or anything. So
it's perfect.
Amazing.
I am so excited to be on this podcast. I'm a huge, huge fan. I feel like the last few weeks or months, I guess, Lindsay Weber, who had been a previous guest, had told me about this podcast, and I listened to an episode and then immediately listened to like just hours and hours and hours, like so many episodes. So I think I finally have gotten back to the end of this, like the beginning of season six.
Oh, wow.
In the podcast, like in a weirdly short amount of time.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that.
But it's been like a very weird, like K-hole of my brain space where like, you know, the season's been going for what, 21 episodes. And so it's been months of every Monday I watch it. And then Tuesday through Sunday, I listen to podcasts about it. And it's like literally all I think about now.
Yeah, it's taken over my entire life similarly as well. This is my life now. This is just how it is. It's Vanderpump 24/7.
Yeah. I feel like it's both a good and bad thing. I don't know. I mean, I guess actually I don't know where the good part would be.
I think it's good. Like for me, it's weirdly like helped me out in like a really rough time in my life. Like in a lot of ways, I feel like Vanderpump Rules has saved my life. So I'm choosing to make it like a good thing.
I hear that. I mean, it's funny. I feel like I similarly to this podcast, I came into Vanderpump sort of late in Vanderpump life. I only started watching about a year and a half ago when I had just had a baby and I was on maternity leave. And I like binge watched four seasons, like lying on the couch at like 6 a.m.
Amazing.
And it was like, that was a really like, you know, in a lot of ways, really dark time. And I think that like Vanderpump Rules really helped me through it because it was like I needed something where it was like the dumbest possible thing on television that like I didn't really have to think about. I could just like lie there and like drool and be like, like, Jeff
yeah,
and Stassi.
It doesn't challenge the mind mostly. It like, but it challenges the spirit, but it also uplifts your spirit because you're just like, wow, my life could never be this bad ever.
Yeah.
No matter what choices I make, like I'm in control. I got this. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like therapists, instead of prescribing like Zoloft, should just be like, I think you should go watch season two of Vanderpump Rules in like 48 hours and then like report back and let me know what you think. Or like one episode a day. They could actually do that, one episode a day through season six, and then check back in and see if you're still depressed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wonder, I mean, I guess there are people who watch this and are like, oh, I'm really jealous of them. Like, I wish I had their lives. Like, they're beautiful and fun and like they have exciting, glamorous lives. I hate my own life. Like, I guess there's people out there who like this makes them feel bad.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be like a rural reaction. I don't know. I mean, if I don't know. I shudder to think of what your life state is if you're looking at Vanderpump Rules and being like jealous and sad. But I mean, I've had moments of like jealousy and sadness. I think as they continue to like glow up and like make hand over fist of cash, I like get a little bit more dead inside.
Mm.
But, well, you know, give and take. Let's get into this reunion because there's like feels like there's a lot to talk about, but also not a lot to talk about because they like stretch out things over such a long period of time.
Yeah.
But what were your like first reactions about like reunion vibes? Like where did you come away feeling like what was your emotional state at the end of this episode?
So I felt like this episode was a real roller coaster. Reunions are weird because like sometimes kind of nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I had just watched right before it, like there was a little bit of the Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I don't watch with any frequency. I sort of know who they are. It was like really sort of like everyone was just friends and they were all kind of happy. And I was like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like this started out in a place and it ended in a totally different place.
Yeah, very true. It took us on like a roller coaster with Jax that I'm not necessarily like I was touched, but I'm not necessarily buying into that narrative. But we can get to that when it comes. So this episode starts out with like a insane like precursor to the reunion where they're all arriving like with their garment bags and like getting their glam done, which is this. They didn't do that last season, did they?
No, I don't think I've not ever to the seen same this, like getting ready montage.
Yeah, it was like very much behind the scenes like show business. And Lala arrives in a Lambo.
I liked her, like, the like, sticky bra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Know? She's been shilling that on Instagram for a long time.
Oh, so this was, like, secret spawn con.
Yeah, this was definitely a secret spawn con.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
She's been lacing her boobs together on Instagram for, like, the past 6 months. And I'm glad that it got now organically worked into this episode of Vanderpump Rules. But Lala's like all business. She's like very glam in her Lamborghini. James is chugging Fireball. Kristen's tit like iconically is out. And it's just a lot to deal with. What did you think of their like looks?
So I have some notes about their looks.
Yeah, tell me everything.
Some of them I thought were like not like I literally don't really like Stassi like looked fine. Like,
yeah,
you know. So Brittany's boobs I thought actually looked really weird.
You could see the tape under her dress, like where she had taped the edges so that it wouldn't like go off, like that fashion tape that's like double sided.
Oh, maybe that was it. It was just it was a strange garment that like I don't think what I mean, like this is kind of all of them, right? Like it is not flattering.
No, there's always something that's off. You know, right. No one can ever just like nail it 100%. I don't think I've ever seen anyone on Vanderpump Rules like nail it 100%. There's always like some weird variable. And Brittany, also her, like, I need to talk about her rogue braid that like wrapped around one side of her head and like came down and acted as like a braid bra to her one boob on the side. It was really throwing me.
I kind of liked that she was like doing something with her hair other than just having it be like long and straight and down. Like sometimes I feel like when I look at her hair, I'm like, her hair is so boring. Like it's always just kind of like straight and it looks really heavy like on her head.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see like a little something going on with it, I guess.
True. What shocked me about her hair, I think this was last episode when she went to like the Tom Tom opening party, or there was something where her hair was like wet. Like she left the house with her hair wet and then it just like magically dried into like a pretty nice, like air dry look. Mm-hmm. And I was just like shocked that that much hair can just dry organically and like look fine.
I feel like she has like 4 inches too much.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, a little
it's
too long.
Weird. Like, I feel like when your hair is that long, it almost like starts to not look like it's part of your head.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It's like hyper conservative, like Christian. Like, I grew up in Oklahoma City and I feel like I knew like really serious Christians that had like hair that was past their butt. Like, they could sit on it. And it was always like, what the fuck?
I would say like the worst dressed person, in my opinion, honestly, Ariana.
Ugh. See, I liked that color, but there was something going on in like the chest area where it was like there was not a, like she forgot a bra or something.
It's
like
so
that.
Because Ariana's like always the sort of most fashionable person and like she has such a great body, like everything looks good on her. And then mm-hmm. this, like, the pink was cute, but also, like, she didn't have very much, like, jewelry or anything going on. But, like, it was just sort of weirdly plain and, like, didn't fit well while she was sitting, maybe?
Yeah, it was kind of, like, bunchy in some places.
Yeah, and there's a scene later where she has, like, gotten up and she's, like, talking to Shayna in mm-hmm. her dressing room. And it's, like, all wrinkly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, it's a mess.
It's yeah.
All sorts of wrinkles. And I was if I was Ariana, boy, I'd like to look like that, you know? Like,
oh my God,
but
are you kidding?
I would not wear that dress.
No, I would not wear that dress. I would be like making everyone furious with like my body con, like tits out, ass out looks all the time.
Yeah. And like usually she does. Like usually she looks great. But this was weirdly like, it was sort of not as glamorous as I wanted her to be. It was not as like flattering to her amazing figure. Mm-hmm. It kind of was like sad in the boobs almost.
Yeah, it was a little, seemed a little deflated.
Yeah.
Katie's look was the most abrasive for me, I think. Maybe a toss up between, I don't know. Yeah, I was just, I can't with like a velvet terry cloth
robe. She had
like 8
different crosses.
Yeah, like, she was like having a subtle nod towards the Met Ball theme.
Right. I would just like to say, speaking of the Met Ball, I was like furious looking through, you know, sort of simultaneously of watching Vanderpump Rules, also seeing like, you know, pictures of Met Ball. And I was like, I cannot believe Amber Valletta would show up to the Met Ball on this night, the night of the reunion where they're going to talk about Rob.
I know. I just need to know like everything that she knows about like Sheena. Like she's met Sheena, hasn't she?
I have no idea. I have no idea how close Amber and Rob are.
I wonder about them all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Like I just am like when I found out that that was the connection, it made me like Rob more. And then when he turned out to be so awful, like I hated him. And then it was just like, how do I reconcile the fact that like one of my favorite models is also related to Robert Parks Valletta.
I bet that they are not very close. And part of my reasoning for this is that like, because they have the same last name, they probably have the same dad, which means they have different moms, which means they probably grew up in different houses.
Mm, okay.
So they probably didn't grow up. Like they probably both lived with their moms growing up. And so they, you know, maybe saw each other on weekends or holidays, but like didn't like live together as kids. And then Amber became like a model and like traveled all over, you know, like models start when they're like 14 or whatever. So like probably really young. She's like out of the house in Milan or whatever. Maybe at like, you know, in their 30s, they've reconnected like living in Los Angeles together or whatever.
Yeah. But mostly she's like checked out.
Yeah, but I bet they weren't, like, close growing up.
Yeah, I can see that, too. That makes me feel, like, a lot more secure.
good.
If I ever see Amber or, like, just happen to get introduced to her through some, like, miracle, I'm going to have no choice but to ask her about Rob and Sheena.
Yeah.
So I hope that she's...
Yeah, definitely. That chill would be with what that. I want. Good.
Yeah. Similarly, if I ever was to meet John Mayer, like I would have to find a way to like bring up Sheena at some point. Like I wouldn't be being my truest self if I didn't like ask him about it.
Okay. Here's part of my problem. I guess this is not a problem. My experience of the Vanderpump universe, I like to say strictly canon what's mm-hmm. on the show. So I feel like there's a lot of their activities that goes on outside of canon that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. And anything having to do with Shayna and John Mayer is not canon and I do not know about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with what this is.
Oh my God. They like hooked up back in the day. Pre-Shay. Yes. She was working at like a cigar and like whiskey bar in LA and John came in and I guess they like, she went over to his house and like had sex with him a couple times. And then she gave this 8-minute long interview that you can find online. I'll send it to you. It is insane. Some reporter interviewed her for 8 minutes about what it was like to hook up with John Mayer.
Oh my God.
And it's the darkest, most fascinating thing because she basically reveals that they like fucked a couple times and she always went to his house and he never came to her house and like he loves emojis.
Oh my God. But could you imagine John Mayer at her house knowing what her apartment looks like?
No. No one should subject themselves
and, like,
to
presumably
that.
This is her, like her current apartment is the nicest apartment she's ever lived in, right? You know?
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's like, yeah, it's she's at the top right now.
So it could only have been like way, way darker.
Yeah, it's like hard to imagine. But then when you kind of start to like poke around on Craigslist, like if you're in Los Angeles and have ever tried to like move, you have a sense, especially in West Hollywood, of like what the apartments are that like we're dealing with these people. But they still can't, like, no one can really get the apartments right either on this show, so it seems. Like Stassi's is like fine, but she just paints it and that's like kind of what makes it sets it apart.
Right. I mean, I think that it's not that the apartments are so bad and that like they're small or dark. It's just like it's the decor. I mean, like Shayna's with her like, I mean, when she was with Shay, like the giant like canvasprints.com like wedding photos. Like now there's just like it's weird, more terrible like Shutterfly art.
Like, it's just photos of her with and like a leather couch with like cup holders in it. Yeah. And like it's like a whole thing.
Ooh. Ooh.
Stassi, did you notice her hair is like very yellow?
I guess I didn't notice that.
When I watched the episode last night, I was like kind of stoned, but I was like, is it me or is her hair like yellow? And then I watched it again today to take notes and I was like confirmed yellow, which was just throwing me. Andy introduces everyone and then when he gets to Lala, he says he comments on her hoop earrings and she goes, the bigger the hoops, the better the blowjob.
Okay, I wrote that down in my notes too because I was like, the thing was like literally everyone was like, what? Like, it was awkward and uncomfortable, and Andy was like, like, no one expected, like, it doesn't make any, like, is that a saying? I don't know. Maybe it is a saying.
No, I don't think it is a saying. I still don't understand, like, how it makes sense. And then I just, like, pictured, like, her man, like, pulling on her hoops, like, while she was blowing him. And I was like, that is, like, that seems painful and, like not sexy. But then I put together on Instagram her man is always calling her hoopies. I think that's his like nickname for her.
Oh my God.
So hoops are like a real sexual thing for them.
Oof, oof.
TBD on how, but they are. Jax and Brittany reveal they're together. Stassi and Patrick have broken up. Sheena and Rob have broken up. But Lala and her man are still together, thank God. So they first like get into, Andy is asking Jax and Brittany about like what happened and like why they're together still. And Brittany just says like, okay, so first it starts off with Jax being like, I just have to say like, I love you. Like, and then kisses Brittany. And then they like launch into their story. But like, I just don't trust Jax. Like, I have to just like get that off my chest. And I don't think that, like, I have a lot of empathy for him and like what he's been through, but I just don't, like, I'm not buying anything he's selling.
Yeah. So this is like, I feel like in that moment I like bought it. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like so sort of sincere, and like, I think weirdly the thing that like sort of surprised me was how Brittany kind of explained, like, when she explained like why she had sex with him right after she found out about the cheating, like her explanation of that was like kind of made sense in like an emotional way. Like, it made it seem like she was in touch with her emotions and her thoughts and her like desires and feelings about the relationship in a way that I had never like assumed that she had that level of sort of understanding or her ability to like talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like maybe these two are really like deeper than I realized. Like, there was a lot of different things that they both said, especially Jax, that made me think that he's in therapy now.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of like therapy type of language being used. And I was like, wow, like, I think that, like, you know, like, wow, like, I'm buying it. Like, he's changed. Like, mm-hmm. He's being really thoughtful and, like, you know, he's contrite, and his, like, apology to, you know, his girlfriend seems real, and, like, he kind of tried to seem to, like, points, like, make amends with other people, and, like, I was like, yeah, I'm totally buying it. Like, Jax is bad. You know, he's changed. He's a changed man. He's a good guy now. Underneath all that, he's a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, definitely last night I had that kind of same reaction too. But then today I find myself to be like much more resistant to it. And I don't know if it's because I just haven't eaten that much food today and like I'm in a weird mood, or if like, I don't know what. Like, I don't know if maybe I just want Jax to be a monster to like prove that men are trash, or like what I really get out of being like, Jax is awful and that's just the way it is, and like, he's unredeemably bad.
Well, I will definitely say that like, I felt that way for the first half of the show. Mm-hmm. And then my opinion of Jax changed. It was 180.
Yeah.
The second half. So yeah. I was like, oh, no. He's just back to being a sociopath, like, evil guy again. Like, maybe not to Brittany, or, like, maybe I take him at his word of, like, he's not going to cheat again. I mean, I don't really take that at his word, but, like, he behaved very poorly in a way that did not show that he's a changed man in the later part of the show.
Yeah, like the like outburst and like him being like angry and holding everyone hostage with his rage, I was like, this is insane. Like, this is like a coke fueled meltdown again.
Yeah. And like, it was like misogynistic in like particular ways, and like, you know, like really just sort of nasty. Mm-hmm. And like vindictive and cruel in a way that was just sort of thoughtless and also like selfish. And like, I was like, oh yeah, Jax is back.
Yeah.
He's old Jax again. Hasn't changed.
Like, we need to live in a universe and a world where Jax just is Jax at all times, because if he changes, like, that throws everything out of whack. Like, science and physics like can't handle changed Jax.
Yeah.
Like, we get thrust into, like, an alternate universe if that happens.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like he has gone through... He's gone through this change of, like, being kind of, like, a funny bad guy. Like, towards the end of this reunion show, like, he was just showing true colors of being, like, oh, just a horrible, horrible asshole. And not even a way of, like, oh, he's a bad boyfriend. Like, he was just being, like, a horrible person.
Yeah.
Like... to everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his evilness has not aged well over the course of the series, I think.
No. Certainly not.
Like, it sort of started as like, and I feel like that's actually like a lot of the other people have gone the other way, where they sort of maybe started out as like sort of a villain and then you like warmed on them, like Kristen. But like, he's, you know, started as a quasi villain, but like a lovable villain. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, you're like, oh no, you're actually just like a very bad person.
Yeah. And it's interesting how that ties in with his like physical appearance, because I feel like when you're hot, you can get away with a lot more, which is like exactly kind of what's happened to him. Like, he turned into like, has like the physical appearance of like a centaur, but not like a hot centaur, like a mean centaur. And then now everyone's like over his bullshit, whereas like season one he was still like hot with like his old nose and old face, and like it was just kind of like, god, he's so like silly, that Jax guy, like, you know what? Yeah. I mean, and I feel like that is a, like, looks, I mean, looks are definitely a sort of social currency, like in the world we live in, but like on this show in particular, they're, for some of the characters on the show, a very like, they, it's just, I can't help but like notice correlations between like how someone is looking and how their appearance is and like how they're being perceived on the show.
This brings me to my my number one conspiracy theory about the show.
Yes, spill.
Which is that Lisa and Jax have fucked.
Okay, I was not thinking that, but now I am, because you said it.
So here's my theory, is that they fucked sometime before the show ever aired or filmed, but mm-hmm. like in the recent past, and that there was always like lingering sexual tension between them, but now she's over his shit. And that, yeah. like, I think part of it was like seeing him with a like serious significant other was like a turnoff for her.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, I see, like, and also the way that she gets mad at him is like not the way that an employer gets mad at an employee, or even like someone that's like younger who they have a soft spot for. It feels like very personal and like coming from a place of like past romance or like a sexual dalliance of some sort.
I yeah. feel like that's sort of, that's the thing that has always been weird about it. Like, the way that she gets, the way that she's either always like, oh, Jaxy boy, like, mm-hmm. I think she calls him that, like, she sort of is like, ha ha ha, he's so naughty, like, at like that for the first handful of seasons, like, she sort of treats it, like, she enjoys that, like, she kind of loves seeing him crash and burn in his romantic endeavors, because she, like, kind of loves that he's, like, this kind of quasi-available sexual being. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he's kind of not that anymore and also has, like, morphed into a centaur, she's finally lost interest in him and is, like, angry at him, but is also, like, partly reject. Like, the weird anger she has for him in the final episode where she's like, hand me your resignation, is, like, That's not like how you deal with an employee, or like,
yeah, or when she has the Beverly Hills Lifestyle magazine party and yeah. she's like, you're an asshole, you're just an asshole. It's like, yeah. no, that's
like,
not
you showed
like
up 20 minutes late. Like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Like, that was mm-hmm. that was one of the part, like, the moments where I was like, oh, they definitely fucked. Like, I was like, yeah, maybe I was, because I think one of my original theories was that Lisa and Peter fucked, because she also seems to really love him, but he's like so weirdly like asexual. I feel like, yeah, maybe not. But I
yeah,
like,
he doesn't have a very sexy vibe.
Yeah, I feel like I stand by my theory. I think it holds water.
Yeah, I think you're on to something for sure. Like, I have a ton, like, yeah, there's
Ken's
so many theories.
You know?
No, Ken is like, I think that Ken is more of a business, they're more like business partners together and have been able to like make a lot of money, and their marriage is very much like partnership based. Mm-hmm. But like, I heard so many rumors, or at least conspiracy theories, that like she, like when Cedric lived with Ken and Lisa, that she fucked Cedric, or like they all fucked.
Wait, who's Cedric?
Do you remember Cedric from season one of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? He was like the hot gay guy who like lived with Lisa and Ken.
God, I do not remember that.
Oh my God. He lived with them for a season. And then, like, I think it was season two, he was just gone. And they had gotten in, like, a huge fight and had had a falling out. But she's always kind of taken these types of guys in, like, she loves, like, a wounded, hot male bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, so Jax is, like, so, like, he has such, like, a sexual charisma that I feel like
that they're both cheeky and they can both, like, flirt. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of scenes in the sort of early on ones where he's, like, where she sort of shows up to the bar and he's, like, so flirty with her. Sort of.
Yeah.
In a way and that's she, not, like, for the cameras. Like, it's kind of how they act.
Yeah. And she, like, leans in and kind of presses her boobs together. And then he's, like, ha, and, like, smiles. And then they just, like, stare back and forth while he, like, pours her a glass of rosé. And, like makes silly sexual comments to each other.
There's one time where, like, he goes to her house with, like, Tom or someone, and, like, he finds, like, the naked picture of her, and he's, like, wearing her robe, and, like, clearly, it's, like, it, that's a weird scene where he's, like, talking about how hot she is and stuff.
Yeah. And then also, like, the way she's rubbing his back in this whole reunion, like, she's very physical with him in a way that I was like, okay, Lisa, like, enough, hands off.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I kept noticing that and was weirded out by that.
Anyways, I think that's my theory. I stand by it.
I love it. I'm excited. I hope that's like we get like some truth eventually.
I don't think we ever will.
But we might not.
That's the beauty of my theory, is like we'll never know.
Yeah. Andy asked Jax, finally, like, we get some follow up about the old woman that Jax like had sex in, either in front of or like in a one room over. And like, I cannot believe it took 21 episodes from that bomb being dropped for someone to ask, like, what the fuck? Because that's been like my hugest, like, I just don't understand how no one is like cares to even ask a single follow up question. So Jack says he didn't know about the old woman being there, but he was like, it looked like an old woman's house, but like, I don't like.
Yeah. It did look like an old woman's house, but I didn't know there was an old woman in there.
Like, where did he think he was?
Like, I think he thought that like Faith just had the like decor sensibility of an 86-year-old woman.
Yeah. Or he, like, didn't question it. He's just like only concerned about his boner, and so wherever you tell him to come fuck you, like, he'll come anywhere to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, like, I just would love to know what was going through his head when he, like, came in the house. He's like, wow, there's, like, plastic on the couch and, like, weird crochet stuff. Like, what?
Yeah, like the anti-Macasters over the back of the couch or whatever.
He's like, whatever, let's fuck. And then Brittany, no one also, like, I feel like Andy asks questions to Jax, but like no one really like tries to go in and get like answers, and no one really follows up with Brittany in the sense that like she makes a comment. She's like, well, I feel horrible for that woman and for whoever hired her to like take care, like, but it's like that is not the bit, like Faith is not the one like at fault in this situation. Like, certainly she's at fault for like not taking care of the old woman, but like it is not her fault that Jax slept with her.
Right.
And I feel like that's like all the girls kind of have like gotten on like Faith's ass about that a little bit, like on social media or just like on the show. And it's always like she's such a whore and like a liar, but like, I don't know, that just bugs me.
I always assumed in the situation that it was like a relative of Faith's, because I don't think that Faith is like running an adult daycare business on the side, or like the kind of people who are do like in-home elder care are usually like, you know, I don't know, like licensed or something. Like, I don't see Faith just doing that as a part-time job in addition to being a server at Sir.
Yeah, like, she had she was on this other Vanderpump podcast, Vanderpump Rules Party Podcast or Vanderpump Party Podcast, and she had said like what the origin story was of her like caring for this woman, but I forgot it. So
oh, okay.
But it's like I think it was either it was maybe a family friend or she like answered a flyer or something like that. Oh. Either way, it was like not really a good sitch for anyone.
Yeah. Well, oy vey.
Yeah, you live and you learn. Jack says he doesn't know why he cheated, and it could have like it could have been with anyone. It could have been with a hole in the wall, but it was just with Faith because she was the one paying him the most attention at the time. And like Brittany's reaction, like when she's like, "I pay you the most attention," like I pay you more attention. Like it's like she just doesn't understand like how adult relationships work that are like healthy kind of.
Yeah. I definitely don't think she does, because then she wouldn't be in a relationship with Jax.
Yeah, because like she and she goes back and she said this a lot, but she's like, I thought you were changing, like things are really good, like I thought I was making you change. And like it's like no one has ever taken Brittany aside and been like, hey, that's like not how relationships work. So
I mean, the other girls sort of try to, right? Or they,
yeah.
They, I feel like they come at it from the wrong angle. They just go, Jack sucks. You're better than him. Let's set you up with Adam or whatever. Like, that's yeah. sort of not the...
That's
like,
not the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no one had on the show, and this is what kind of makes it so amazing and what makes me, like... wrinkle my nose at like Jack's using kind of therapy terms when he's like describing his behavior is something I like and hate about the show is that no one has any sort of like self-help vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And it like all their attempts to like right any wrongs are very misguided and like so off the mark. So I selfishly prefer they always keep it that way.
I feel like there were a couple moments in here where I feel like there was sort of like self-help therapy language. Like there was like shortly when they were talking about this, there was a moment where he says something about like deflecting when they're talking mm-hmm. about James, I guess. Like he's like, yeah. Oh, like you're deflecting or something. And then there's another moment later on where Kristen is like, she walks across the thing and like hugs him and is like, I love you, but you're misdirecting your anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Kristen Doty did not come up with the term misdirecting your anger like on her own.
No, she's definitely been in therapy for a long time. Yeah. But like she's kind of an example of like once you start to like stabilize and like do the self-help work, you become far less interesting of a person. And that, yeah. In terms of like being a cast member on Vanderpump Rules, by all means, if you're doing that, you become a better person in life. But we're like Vanderpump Rules exists in the universe where you need to be like fucked up in order to be entertaining.
Yeah. And for the record, like, I do think that Kristen and James hooked up.
Yeah. Oh, same. I hardcore believe that.
I think that they maybe didn't have sex. I think they hooked up. Like, I think they hooked up. Around.
Yeah, fooled around, made out. Like, something happened, and I feel like maybe one of them actually, like, blacked out. I actually got a really good email from one of my patrons. I'm going to read it because it has a really good... she made a really good point and had a solid theory. Catherine says, apologies if this Kristen/James theory has already been floated in the Facebook group. I haven't joined because I don't trust them with my Vanderpump feelings data. It's just too personal. But my friends are sick of hearing me talk about this, so here we are. This season, the producers have been bringing the receipts over and over, diving deep into the archives to illustrate years-long patterns of behavior. So it seemed extra odd that the footage that could confirm or deny the Kristen and James hookup simply doesn't exist. Then I realized that between Kristen and James, at least one of them was blackout and doesn't remember what happened. And the last time reality television captured a blackout hookup was the Bachelor in Paradise scandal from over the summer. I have to imagine all reality television producers were a little chastened by the accusations that the Batch producers had watched and filmed a woman being raped. So I can totally imagine that Kristen and James' mutual inability to consent made turning off the cameras a legal must. I think Kristen remembers less than James. She's obviously a little traumatized. And if she can't find out what happened from the footage slash producers, then she's beholden to what James says happened, which terrifying. He's totally the type to say nothing happened, then take it back mid reunion. If you or anyone from your well-connected industry guest network has any intel on how producers handle drunken hookups, perhaps especially in the wake of Bachelor in Paradise, I think it'd be interesting intel for your devoted listeners, including yours truly.
Wow.
I think that was like...
That's really dark. Because yeah. It never occurred to me in all like permutations of what might have happened that like sexual assault was one of the things. I assumed that it was like they were just both really into it, like wasted and into it.
On The Bachelor?
No, on
Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it goes as far as like any sort of sexual assault, but I can see where it's like if two people are blackout drunk and we don't like as producers don't want to get into the same realm or have any sort of like weirdness after the fact, then maybe we'll just never show this footage or like, well, nothing will ever happen with the footage.
Yeah.
But that's interesting to think about, like the what if any fallout has happened since The Bachelor in Paradise. Like if producers have changed the way they film certain scenes or like when it comes to characters on a show having sex, like how they handle that.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that the way they would like course correct would be to not overserve them. But
yeah,
as we know, but, it's not really. You can't tell Tom Schwartz not to black out.
No. And side note, I found out that the producers pay for the first three drinks of the cast. Of
what?
For any sort of scene.
So, but they're only, I would assume that they would pay for all the, are you surprised that they pay for any drinks or that they only pay for three?
I mean, if they paid for all the drinks, the budget of this show would be like, like $4 million a head. Like, so I understand, like, I feel like all they need, and the three drink thing is smart because like, two drinks will maybe get you like kind of buzzed, but if you're like really a heavy drinker, you're going to need at least three drinks to like pass the blood-brain barrier before your alcoholism like kicks in and you have like a desperate need for a fourth. So they're just like lighting the fire and allowing the cast to fan the flames, which I think is like pretty smart.
But see, I think that three in a weird way is like a bad number because I think it also, like, that's the point at which, like, you might go, well, I guess if you, you know, they make, I mean, this gets into like the biggest confusing Gordian knot for the audience to understand, which is like, how much money do these people actually have? But mm-hmm. I feel like if three drinks would be the, like, that's the time where, like, especially if you know that the cash bar, like, has kicked in, you're like, ugh, do I want to stay for another? Like, I don't know. Like, you know what? I already had three. Like, maybe it's time to tap out. Like, that's kind of how I would feel.
Yeah, but, like, you're, like, a sane person that, like, probably doesn't have a drinking problem. Like, and you have to consider, like, we're dealing with Tom Schwartz, who just, like, goes into a fugue state. And, like, just, like, drowns in Coors Light. So...
Oh, God. I mean, I think the Coors Light is really dark.
Yeah, the Coors Light's, like, one of the darkest things about the show. Oof. Speaking of Tom Schwartz, Andy asks him why he's so loyal to Jax. And then Schwartz, he's, like, says a variety of things. But, like, the thing that most stuck out to me was he's, like... You know, Jax and Tom, like, they're my first friends when we were here, and they got me my agencies. So, like, he basically says he has no choice but to be, like, to give them undying loyalty because they got him his modeling agencies.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny because I sort of forgot on the earlier seasons that, like, Jax was a model, sort of. That was, like, his size. Side gig. You know what I realize they don't do anymore when I was thinking about that is they don't do the calendar shoot anymore.
Oh, yeah. They didn't do one this season. That's so sad.
I know.
They did that last season.
Because I think not enough of them actually work there anymore.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot of, like, pump heads, but I don't know anyone that's bought a calendar. And I don't even know where those calendars are for sale necessarily.
Right. I mean, who owns wall calendars, you know?
Yeah. They're very they're a thing of yesteryear. Yeah. Lisa's got a rebrand. But I need like more themed photo shoots because those are actually one of my favorite. Like,
yeah, like it was always a really good. I always liked it because it was like, you know, Jax and the people who kind of had like, you know, they could sort of show off their experience, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of a model or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Brittany says, oh, Katie and Kristen have like a really good side moment where they both yell at Schwartz to stop defending Jax. And it was just like incredible.
he can't stop himself. That was like so sad. He's like, he couldn't stop. And they're like, stop defending. And like, not even Jax wanted him to be defending. Like, Jax is like, I don't need, like, Jax was like, I'm wrong. I get it. I was bad. And like, Schwartz was like, well, the thing is, Jax's a great guy. And it's like, not even Jax wants you to say this.
Hey, when Jax is telling you to shut up, you really need to like take a step back.
Yeah.
I'm like so concerned for Tom Schwartz because he seems more and more erratic with every passing moment. Like, he doesn't seem like to be in like a, like his state of mind seems like there's something missing.
Yeah, I feel like he seems like less and less competent. In a lot of ways. I mean, like, he's always been like, I'm a goofy guy. But it's also like, as you get older, then like being incompetent like shows more, I guess. But like, I mean, the drinking is concerning.
The drinking is really concerning. But even like when he starts talking, and we'll get into like the tom-tom of it all, because like thoughts are abound there. But like, when Tom Schwartz is like talking about tom-tom, like he's talking about it as though like as a, like, he's, like, a person that does not know what he's saying. Like, he doesn't know his role necessarily, or he's, like, making excuses for some... Like, he just sounds like an idiot. And I guess it is just, like, he's incompetent, but it's also... It's kind of, like, beyond that into just, like, weird anxiety, like, gibberish talk or something.
Yeah. It... I mean, like, to go back to his weird brothers, like...
I always forget it. I, like, am always... trying to forget that they exist, and then someone has to bring them back up to me. And I forgive you, but also fuck you for that.
Like, sometimes I think about, like, okay, he's maybe not that different from those weird brothers. He just happened to be born beautiful.
Yeah.
And, like, capitalized on that. And, like, but he's kind of those brothers. Like, he's those brothers, but with a beautiful face, sort of.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
Like, I mean, obviously has done, like, he's one of the only ones who went to college, right? Like, that's early on they mention he has like college debt, like in the early seasons.
He went to college. I don't know if he graduated, but he went to college. I think Ariana went to college. I thought, weirdly, a lot of them went to college. Sheena went to college, Ariana, Stassi.
But not Katie. Because I think I remember it in the context of Katie talking about, like, I didn't go to college, but Tom did, and he has college debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, he also, like, she thinks it's cool that he went to college.
Yeah.
You know, college is cool.
College is pretty cool.
All the kids out there listening. College is cool, guys. Study hard and go to college.
Yeah, get an education of some sort, lest you end up, like, one of the Vanderpump Rules cast.
Right.
Except maybe that's not such a bad thing, because they're very wealthy now.
There you go.
Who knows? Brittany says she had sex with Jax because it was an emotional, mental thing that she can't explain. And I was just like, yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. But I feel like I was impressed with the way that she was able to, like, say that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, when she's like, you know, I know a lot of women, like, won't understand it because there's a lot of girls that, like, wouldn't go back to someone like him, but, like, I did. It's, like, on one side, I'm like, yeah, I get that, but also, like, you have low self-esteem. Like, can we just talk about how, like, I mean, that is, like, there's no, I just don't see, like, a reason for her to go back and put herself in that situation. Like, for me, it's not, like, I love you is not enough in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm, like, heartless, but, like, I just don't... I'm just, like, not buying it.
Poor Brittany.
Lala looks incredible, and she asked for her job back. She says she felt like Sur was a safe place for her to be in. So that's why she asked her job back, which was made me lol. Cause I was like, it's like the least safe place. Like actually, like literally now that I think about it, it's like truly not safe. Cause it caught on fire like randomly multiple times. So
yeah, Lisa trying to burn down her own restaurant. Yeah. Well, you're in yeah. it constantly. That's not safe.
And then Ariana's like praising Lala and she's like, I knew who you were and I'm like so glad everyone gets to see that. And then Sheena's just like, and then I get shit on and like takes Lala to task for making comments about her being tone deaf. And that was just like a beautiful like Italian kiss moment.
It was good. I liked how Tom Sandoval like also was like, you made fun of my trumpet playing.
Yeah. But I think he's trying to troll Sheena. I think, okay, so I have a theory of what's going to happen, like, next season. I think that Sheena is going to get, like, emotionally murdered by everyone.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, I think her time is finally, like, things are going to come to a head.
I feel bad because I know that this season you have not been a Sheena fan. And I feel like for most, I mean, other than like her loopy doopy thing about like thinking Rob like loves her when he clearly kind of doesn't. Like, I feel like she had gone through, like, I was kind of like really into Sheena for a while. I think like particularly in the season, like the Katie Tom wedding season where she was kind of getting like shit on a little bit. Like, I felt really bad for her. Like, she was kind of like the one maybe like nice person. Like, she was kind of often like the nice person who kept like finding herself being yelled at by everybody else, and it kind of wasn't fair. And she was also going through this, you know, divorce or whatever. And like, I feel like I was really like team Sheena, but yeah,
I don't hate Sheena. I just like, I'm fascinated by her. Like, I think that she's an essential part of this show and would never want her to get kicked off because like I live for kind of how delusional she is. It's just like she is A, on another planet from everyone else, like operating kind of over here when everyone else is over there. And then also, I think that Sheena gets used as like the sacrificial lamb for everyone else. So like no one has to really be held accountable for their actions, or like if, as long as like we're all shitting on Sheena and Sheena's acting crazy, it deflects from like everything everyone else is doing. So I like her for that reason, too. I like her and loathe her for that reason. But yeah. I truly am just like into whatever she's selling because it's next level.
Yeah, I think I think the thing that could potentially happen in the future that would be like devastating would be like for her friendship with Ariana to be ruptured.
Yeah, I still like don't understand.
I know. What do they talk about? What do they talk
about? I don't
know.
I truly don't know. Like when I was watching the reunion for a second time today, I was like, what's left here? Like, why would Ariana like go after her? I'm like, how are they like, what is the connection?
It's so, like, I always think of it as it's like, it would be like if I was like, hey, this is my best friend. And I just like pulled out like a turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you hung out with that turtle like all the time. Yeah, like
my best friend, Mr. Yeah, Turtle.
Like, and that turtle was like that. Kind of a dick, but you just had its back.
Yeah, like it's totally just like bizarre to me.
Yeah, it really does not, it doesn't track at all. And like when Ariana comes to like talk to her and she's like kind of pep talking her, I'm like, I would think that Ariana would be the first person to be like, bitch, you're being delusional. Like, you did your makeup thing like last reunion, like last season. Like, don't do it again. Like, can you just like get back out there? Or like, but I don't know. It just like, it truly is like mystifying.
I don't know. I feel like if that friendship like goes down the tubes, I feel like Sheena's
done.
Go off the rails. I don't know.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Yeah. Lala was telling Sheena, like, Lala getting so mad about, like, you're going to blame your tone deafness on my lyrics? Like, that was incredible.
Oh, my God.
Don't come for Lala's lyrics.
So I don't know if you know this, but Lala has the number one song on the iTunes dance charts right now, or electronic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Well-deserved.
I listened to it. So I'm not, like, a huge, like, electronic music fan, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, like, I listened to this song, and I was like, wow, this is terrible. No offense to Lala, but it was like 8 songs mashed into one, and the lyrics were so bad. Like,
I respectfully disagree, and I feel like it's very Rihanna-esque, and I'm into it. I was like playing it. I was in Palm Springs this past weekend, and my friends and I were listening to it over and over, and I was just like, it was just so good. It's a summer jam. I'm excited to, like, maybe go to a pool party this summer that where someone's like blasting that song.
It's funny that you say it's Rihanna-esque, because that was like one of the things that I noticed when I was listening to it, that, like, so I, in general, a thing that really bothers me about Lala is like what I consider her kind of weird racism of her bizarre adoption of black slang and black speech. Like, it's very, like, not okay.
I think.
And, like, and it's not done in a way that is, like... Like, there's, like, a spectrum of cultural appropriation, and, like, on one end is, like, Eminem, where it's like, hey, man, like, he was raised in this community, like, he relates to this, like, it's okay for him to, like, be a rapper and, like, talk like this. And on the other end is, like, Rachel Dolezal or something. And, like, she's somewhere in that spectrum, but it's, like, kind of in the bad end, right?
Yeah,
like,
she's closer to a Dolezal than...
It's just, like... She in some like interview was like, I feel like I have the like spirit of Tupac in me. And I'm like, you can't. No, you don't. Can't. And like, that's kind of not like, it's just like not okay to say that. And how do you not know that it's not okay to say that? Like, her whole sort of like demeanor of like using all this like black slang and like my man and you're going to get popped and like all this stuff is like. It's not like it's not cool with me, and like it comes off like. It's all the problems.
It's an act.
Yeah, it's an act, but it's also
and it's
like,
inauthentic, and that's like that's in itself like a problem. But then, yeah, I mean, it's not. It definitely is not okay for her to like continue and double down on that kind of like speech.
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed is in that song, I was like, she's doing like. Some of the ways she says like certain words, like I think there was something where she was like talking, she's like, you know, we dance like this or something. And I was like, it's very like specifically a Rihanna inflection, like sort of like an island Caribbean accent. I was like, you're just doing a Rihanna accent in a song. Like, you can't do that. Like,
she is just doing it. And I guess
doing like Rihanna pronunciation. Like, Rihanna has really distinct pronunciations in her song because she has like an accent. She's from Barbados. And like, Lala's just doing a Barbados accent.
She fully is doing a Barbados accent. Like, I am now realizing how problematic my own love of this song is. And I hate that for myself. And I apologize for that. But I also, like, she does, she is just doing a Rihanna voice.
She is. Like, she's, it's totally like, she, like, is just imitating, a, like, a Rihanna voice. And, like, I feel like this is my big problem with Lala in general, which is that, like, Lala would be the, like, feminist icon and beacon, like, of the show, except for the fact that, like, true feminism cannot coexist with racism. And, like, she, like, just because you tell your friends, like, hey, you shouldn't take shit from a man doesn't mean that, like, it's only, like, she's only doing, like, the girl power version of it, but not, like, the rejection of oppression version of it. This got real.
This did get real.
Much.
This
is.
but it's, like, you're bringing up a really good point, though. And that is, like, that's a huge oversight on her part.
Yeah. And it's, like, she's, like, I'm, you know, like, she sort of is just all about, like, women's solidarity. But, like. I don't think that she is not an intersectional feminist.
No. And I think that like the women's solidarity thing has been an interesting like place to come from with her this season because like it's what it's definitely like the pillar or the pedestal that she like puts herself on and what sets her aside from all the other women is she's like fighting for everyone to be friends. But when you take into consideration like shit that she said to and about all the other women on the show, like in the past, like it feels like a very calculated change and shift to like go there. And then also it's like she comes for like she came for Randall's ex or no, Randall's ex came for her on social media. Never mind. But I basically, yeah, I agree. The Rihanna voice. It's a lot. I wonder if Rihanna knows about Lala's song and if she has feelings about it because she revealed herself to be like a massive Vanderpump Rules fan.
Oh my God. I wonder if she's listened to it.
Yeah.
Like,
and
Rihanna, you know, like she's very Rihanna's cool like, and listens to music. Like,
yeah.
If something's the number one on the electronic charts on iTunes, like to be fair, the number two was a remix of the Walmart Yodeling Boy.
Yeah.
Like, I think she like just kicked him off the top spot.
Small victories.
But
yeah, I need to know like Rihanna's reaction because I can't imagine she's going to be a fan of it. I also just need to know Rihanna's like what her like favorite cast members are because she, Katie is like the only person that she follows on Instagram, which really has baffled me. I know. Here to drop a real music bomb on Kate. Everyone. Rihanna, I can only assume
music
that she saw.
Rihanna.
Yeah, music is killing Rihanna. And she was like, oh my God, me too. Like, and then clicked the follow. Like, I just can't. Like, so has she really watched Vanderpump Rules? Like, I just have so many questions.
Wow.
Yeah. Lala says that. Oh, so James starts talking and then Lala goes, let's just get it real straight again. My man is Kanye. And James is white Ray J now.
Yeah, because James is always saying that he's white Kanye.
Yeah. And Andy was like bringing up everyone that James has like cheated on Raquel with, which is like so many people. And he's like, why does everyone want to say they've slept with white Kanye? And then Lala just like interjects in like the most awkward moment of the whole thing. Like they clearly had a huge fight like before this reunion was filmed. But like that was another semi-problematic moment.
I'm not even sure I understand the metaphor. Like, so, is it that like he hit it first before her man?
He hit it first, okay. And then not only did he hit it first, but he's like
she's
not
Kim.
As
okay, and he's
like, yeah, she's Kim.
Gotcha. Okay,
Randall is Kanye, and James is the white Ray J.
Oh, yeah.
I like that metaphor.
Okay,
kind of.
It works. I mean, speaking of blackout sex, like, so I feel like I only recently, I'm trying to remember under what circumstance I remember like reading about this. I guess it was like on some sort of interview, like Lala talked about like the time that they did have sex, like she doesn't remember it or something. Like,
yeah.
She was like, oh, I was blacked out. Like, I don't remember anything. And it was like,
yeah,
like whoever was, God, I'm trying to remember now, like, what? It was a really, like, weird... Oh, it was on
the Dirty, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. Nick Ritchie, like, one of the worst people on Earth, was like, you know, actually, that's, like, pretty fucked up. That's sexual assault. Like, he was, like...
When he's the one, like, waking you up...
Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, it's like, we've entered the danger zone.
Yeah, like, he's a guy who, literally, his entire, like, job is people send in pictures of someone who's like an Instagram model in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he's like, she needs breast implants. Like,
yeah,
that's all he does. And he's like, actually, that's like pretty fucked up that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Lala and James have a very complicated history.
Yeah. I really like, I want them to be together. I feel like
me too.
I believe in the love story. I mean, apart from that weird, like, whatever that was.
When they, like, had their moment at the showcase, it was just, like, I truly was like, this is my Kim and Kanye. Like, this is my new Kim and Kanye. Yeah. It's like, Lala and James.
They love each other.
They like, love each
they
other.
They belong together.
Like, and they make sense together.
Yeah. They, like, they would support and love each other. Like, you know.
And they'd be a hot couple.
Yeah. It's, like, I feel like that's a, like, fatal flaw. It's, like, Lala's relationship to her man is so weird because it's, like, on one hand, it's sort of admirable because it seems like perhaps she's in one of the only healthy relationships on the show that, like, I don't know, she has, like, some boyfriend that she's been with for a long time now and, like, she seems really devoted to him. But on the other hand, like, I don't know, like, it's not, like, there's something fucked up about that relationship, right?
Yeah, that relationship is a little bit weird. Like, just, like, the circumstances under which, like, it happened and then all the NDAs and stuff. And, like, I'm, like, and he's just, like, a lot older. And then, like, you bring the baby bottle into the mix. Like, it's just a...
Yeah,
there's
and also,
a lot.
Like, the general implication, like, I don't know, he's, like, a old, fat, greasy guy who just, like, happens to be rich, and she enjoys, like, his richness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I don't know, that's not, I like, it makes you appreciate, like, Katie and Tom. Like, two... Katie could have, you know how Lala's saying, like, oh, anyone with a pair of tits, you know, who looks halfway decent can get a flight on a private jet, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
those girls could go have a, you know, weird, creepy, like, older married boyfriend if they wanted, but they don't. They love Tom Schwartz, a weird, lovable, drunk loser.
Like, yeah, sweet. I mean, Katie and Tom are, like, the nice thing about them is that they just took each other off the market. And, like, that's kind of, like, and that's kind of where my, like, how I've resolved my feelings about Jax and Brittany. I'm like, okay, just, like, get each other off the market so, like, no one has to be subjected to, like, the weird relationship dynamics that you're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And, like, but that's, like, also... I feel like everyone on this show is kind of that way. I don't feel like James and Raquel are meant to be, and I don't think that they're, like, lasting. I feel like they're single. Like, someone told me they were at some James Kennedy, like, DJing event, and he was, like, announcing that he was single now. Right. Which, like, I can only hope. I need, like, a single James Kennedy on season 7 of Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, like, that's a relationship that doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but it's also, like, I mean,
it tracks.
I don't know what's up with Raquel. I think you're the only
person who loves Raquel.
Like,
I love her. I love everything she does. Like, recently she was modeling at, like, a mall, and, like, she just cut these, like, wispy bangs that make, that are really, like, they don't make any sense. Raquel is, like, mentally in seventh grade.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder if it's, like, still waters run deep with her, you know? Maybe that's the case. Maybe there's something there that we just don't see, that the cameras don't capture.
It cannot be captured by modern day technology.
Yeah, when it's just her and James alone, like, she gets really real and she has some, like, amazing, like, she's hilarious, or, yeah, you know, she does, who knows?
TBD if we'll get to find out. Katie, oh wait, do you think James and Logan hooked up?
I don't.
Really?
I think I'm the one person who doesn't.
You are the one person that doesn't.
You're
the 1%.
I think they might have, but I also think that that was put in as, like, a red herring in the, like, I think that Logan was added as a character specifically to incite these, like, speculations that, like, secretly James was gay, and that, like, the fact that it never really panned out, and he also kind of admitted that he was, had, like, made it up the time that he said it, like, I don't know. I think it's more likely that James and Kristen hooked up in Mexico than I do think it is that James and Logan hooked up.
Wow. Well, James stands with you because he says he's never dipped into the men pool in his life. And he knows exactly what it's dipped his willy in.
I mean, I don't believe that, to be perfectly honest. But
yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think there's like a reasonable chance, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think that I feel like it was, like, a setup a little bit. Like, it was meant to be. I think that they thought, oh, there's no good James plot line this season. We got to get this guy Logan in here, you know?
Yeah.
And then it turns out, like, there was, because, like, he probably hooked up with Kristen.
Yeah, I think that, like, maybe James and Logan had a thing going, like, prior to filming, and then they tried to get into it, but, like, James, like, that storyline was just shut down so quickly and, like, fast and furiously that, like, I feel like maybe, like, it's not the time that James is going to feel comfortable, like, saying he's bi.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was, like, Logan was on for, like, 3 episodes, and everyone, like, was,
like, hugely on.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like, disappeared and did not appear for, like, the rest of the season.
Yeah. Everyone starts to talk to Stassi about the Patrick of it all. And there's, like, a really amazing moment where they, like, flash back to all the, like, the big words that Patrick is using. And then Andy asks Jax if he knows what myopic means. And Jax is like, no, I have no idea, like, what it meant. But, like, I was like, as long as Stassi doesn't know, like, I'm safe. And then Andy asked, like, it was like a side moment. Andy's like, do you have any curiosity to like look up and like figure out what it means? And Jax is like, no. And then Brittany goes, I don't either. And then and I was just like screaming because they literally, like, this entire cat, like, myopic is like the exact adjective to like describe like everyone on the cast of this show.
Yeah.
Like, and I just love like them just being like very complacent with like ignorance is like so real, and it makes me love them.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Ariana shares a little more about her like abusive past relationship, which is like a sad moment.
Yeah, it's I have in my notes, I wrote DJ Khaled.
Oh my god, yeah, because he's like doesn't go down on his wife.
Yeah, and it made me like, so her, she says sort of specifically that like what she didn't like, you know, her whole thing in the season was like, I feel uncomfortable with my vagina. Mm-hmm. And that then she was saying like, I would feel uncomfortable when Tom would try to perform oral sex on me, like I didn't want that.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about how like it's like, it's people like DJ Khaled in the world that make women feel bad about receiving oral sex, like that make them think that like, oh, it's a disgusting thing that men hate doing. Like, even if Tom is like, I really want to do this, I love it. Like, that makes mm-hmm. her completely resistant to him being like, you're beautiful, what are you talking about? Like, your vagina is fine. Like, I, you know, like, I yeah. feel like, DJ Khaled, you're a jerk. That's how I feel.
Yo, yeah, he's a fucking sucks. I was like, you're deleted after this. Like, love your son. Assad is like a sweetie pie, but like, I can't anymore. But also, it's like, all it takes is one guy to kind of make a comment about like your like as a woman, like a woman's body or anything, to like severely negatively affect that. Like, I feel like it's not something that goes both ways as much,
yeah,
as it does. And like, men just need to be more careful with their words. And I've not like around straight men like basically ever anymore, but like I've heard more women like talking shit on like other women's vaginas than I've heard like men talking shit. Like saying, like, I feel like whenever a man experiences a vagina, like a straight man, he's pretty excited about the whole thing in general.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anyone like talk shit about anyone's vagina.
Yeah, like I'm remembering, like, did you watch The Hills? Were you a big Hills person?
Oh, right. Yeah,
I remember all that.
Yeah, I remember that was like a big thing. But my assumption was always that it was like, it was made up. Like that.
Yeah, they, like it was just like a mean.
It was a mean like meme that they were saying, like, your vagina looks gross. Like, because they knew that was sort of the meanest thing. Like, not only is it going to be humiliating for you to have this out here, but like, it's not even hot and good. Like, it's mean. Like
it was such like psychological warfare. Because like, I'm sure if she did have a sex tape, like whatever, I'm sure it's like fine and whatnot. But like, or just like the doubling down of like, they thought the sex tape was going to get put out there in the world. And then like when Heidi and Spencer didn't like get the pleasure of like Elsie having a sex tape like downfall, they just like doubled down in a way that was like so cruel and just like still made it, like it still stung just as bad. Like, I remember it so clearly to this day as being like, I was like, whoa, that's a burn.
Well, it's also like, it's quite clever in a evil burn in that like, you don't need to see what her vagina looks like to remember that someone's like, it's almost just as effective to create a rumor that said she has a gross vagina as it would be if anyone could actually. I mean, partly because like, I mean, the concept of a gross vagina doesn't really exist, right? Like, no one's mm-hmm. like, I feel like it's also like, even if it was like, who knows.
The gross vagina narrative is just like, I don't know. It's just like, It's interest. It's always been like an interesting narrative to me because I've never really been. I've always been in the camp that's like literally every vagina looks different. Just kind of like most dicks look different, and it's fine.
I don't know if you're familiar with incels.
The
incel community of involuntary incelibates.
And
like the guy who drove a van into a crowd in Toronto a couple weeks ago was like revealed to be part of that community, and like they're sort of evil and they hate women, and they have this whole like lingo that they make up where like guys who have sex, like the cool awesome jock captain of the football team is a Chad, and then there's like Stacey's who are like the hot sluts or whatever, and those are the people who like they have these unattainable sex lives that they can't ever have. And they, you know, they aspire to be these people. But one of the other thing, like one of the other terms that they use is a roastie, which is to describe women who have sex with like a lot of men, which like, you know, is just like normal people. Like any, like, I think in their mind, they think anyone who has sex with like more than like one person is a lot because they've never had sex with anyone.
Yeah.
But, the idea is that having sex with a lot of people will physically change the look of your vagina to create a roast beef style, like, vulva, which is, you know, just medically untrue that, like, having sex with many people does not change the outward appearance of your vagina. But, like, that... So maybe it's kind of, like, in a way... Is Spencer Pratt an incel? Maybe.
Maybe. Ariana's ex-boyfriend sounds like an incel.
Yeah, but like that, yeah, the whole like idea of saying that like vaginas are ugly and like ascribing a vagina being ugly to possibly like you've had sex with too many people, therefore your vagina's ugly is like a very hateful thing to say.
Yeah, it's really twisted. And also to like set like some sort of standard of beauty for vaginas when there's really, I mean, there's not necessarily like a standard of beauty for dicks. Like, it, I guess like you can make fun of a guy's like dick size or whatever.
Yeah.
But that is very different. Like, that's very different from like the vagina conversation.
And I feel like it's weird because it's like, I, you know, like I know that some people are like, they are like want to be really positive and they're like, all vaginas are beautiful. But it's like, I think like all vaginas are just fucking hideous, right? Like, is a nightmare. Like, all of them are like on a scale of 1 to 10, they're all an 11 on nightmare scales. Like, good grief. Like, myself included. Like, egad, like the whole apparatus is a nightmare. Like, ugh.
Like, it's a lot to navigate at any given time. There's like so many balls in the air in a vagina.
Yeah, so like there's no better or worse. They're all horrible.
But it's like someone decided that there's like one vagina that's like the most perfect looking vagina ever, and then if it's not that vagina, then it's just like a hideous vagina. But like no one ever came from a perspective of like, wow, all vaginas are like equally disgusting, or all vaginas are equally beautiful, and like let's talk about something else. It's really like, who was the person that was like declared one vagina style to be like the consummate vagina style?
You know, now I'm wondering, like, what if Ariana does have like a really weird vagina?
Well, you know what? She like, wouldn't what be the first person, and she wouldn't be the last person.
Like, what if it's like way less normal than you would expect? Like, what if you're like, it's probably just like pretty normal. Like, what if there's like, it's really weird?
What makes me think that it is pretty normal and that it's like all in her head is that she went and got waxed in front of like an audience of people.
Oh,
so like,
God, yeah.
I don't, I think if you really so had weird. Like, yeah, if you had like like a weird vagina that you were very ashamed of or self-conscious of, I don't think you'd be like, hey, come in this room, I'm gonna spread my legs as wide as possible and you can have a front row seat to someone like searing off my like labia hair. Like, I just like, that's what I was like, no, her vagina's fine.
That
I think she just has really bad body dysmorphia. Like, yeah. Like,
I mean, that's definitely like Ariana definitely does not have a really weird vagina. It's no on her head.
But what creeps, yeah, what creeps me out the most is that like Ariana, not creeps me out, like what makes me feel, I feel bad for her because it's like Ariana is literally like everything is working on a physical level. Like, she's stunningly beautiful, has the best body, like, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, she looks in the mirror and sees, like, some hideous wench. And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is, like, that's just, like, wild to think about. And that is, like, such a good example. It's, like, a textbook example of what body dysmorphic disorder is.
Yeah. And there's such, like, a weird moment where, like, she's talking about that, where she's, like, I don't feel beautiful. And everyone immediately is like, you're so beautiful. And she's like, mm-hmm. please stop. Like, I hate compliments. They make me feel uncomfortable. And everyone's like, but you're like so gorgeous. And it's tough because it's like, I mean, A, her friends are telling the truth. Like, she's insanely good looking. And yeah. like, B, of course, they want to say, they think they're being helpful, but like, it's weird. It's like not, right? Like,
yeah, it's like you can't force someone to like accept their beauty and like change their self-esteem by complimenting them. Like, that's just not how it works. So I just hope that she like gets to a place of like knowing her beauty someday.
Yeah.
Both inside and out.
Yeah.
And vaginally speaking. there's a moment where she says like she and Tom Sandoval resolved like their sexual issues, but they're quote not banging it out every day. And then the Bubbas both looked at each other, like gave each other like a knowing glance.
I know. And I was very curious whether that meant that they were like, well, we do bang it out every day, or they're like, haha, relatable.
Like, yeah, like I'm not sure where they were coming from. Yeah, me neither. I was really confused. And there was one reunion where like, I think it was like after season one or two where Andy asked like which of the couples on the show has like the craziest sex, and everyone was like, oh, Tom and Katie, like Whoa. Hands down. Yeah, which is a wild thing to think about.
It would be, I feel like that, like if I found out they had sex every day, that would be a very surprising, like they seem so like unsexual both individually and with each other.
Yeah,
that like that would be very surprising.
It would be really surprising because I just imagine their home life is like they just like eat food and like watch TV and like fart in front of each other.
Yeah,
and like then they like go to bed and then do the same thing over and over and over and like never have sex. Stassi, Kristen, Rachel, and Brittany all went to Jax's dad's funeral, which is like, love that, but still strikes me as very odd.
Why odd? That they would like travel, or
I guess it's just that was like, oh, we're all gonna go. Like, I guess he is like a very solid tie that binds a lot of people to each other. And like, if you're gonna be like supportive, like, I don't know. It just like, it kind of was like, it just seems weird.
The circumstances of like Kristen and Stassi are unusual, that it's not just like you dated the same guy. It's like your boyfriend cheated on you with this other person who now is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, but that doesn't seem weird because it's not that they would all go to the funeral. It's that like they clearly consider themselves like very good friends as a friend group and like, you know, went to the funeral, I guess.
Okay, so we need to talk about the Tom of it all, because this is where things got like officially insane.
Yes, like I mean, like my mind blew. This is
insane. It's insane. So Lisa has not cashed either Tom Sandoval or Tom Schwartz's checks that they wrote her, and she's on the fence. Like, I guess she's I don't know what she's waiting for, but like, this is not how business is done, right? Like, that's not how it works when you invest in a restaurant.
Right. That's definitely not. I mean, like, I'm no restaurant investor, but like, it's so bizarre because it clearly was like, it makes it feel like it's revealed that the idea that they're involved was created for the artifice of the show and for some drama. But like, they went to a lot of length to like carry on this like farce that they were actually like paying money, and like, you know, Tom and Tom are negotiating like, oof, this is really gonna like hurt our pocketbooks, and like, what if we can negotiate down a little bit, and like, and then it seemed also like they were unaware that the money was fake.
If this was just a ruse to be a storyline on the show, like it, their reaction in this moment, like, didn't make a lot of sense. The whole thing is like really unclear. And I think that maybe the restaurant, like, maybe there's some sort of way that she's like laundering money in and out of this restaurant stuff. Like, because when Tom Sandoval says, like, Ken's installing some crazy wine fridge, but like no one in West Hollywood, like no one in Boys Town is ordering bottles of wine. So like, why would that happen? Like, it just, nothing is adding up. And this just seems like, this is like a bad, like she's like fucking them over and it got revealed. And I need like, I need to like start a protest or something in West Hollywood.
Yeah. And like, I think it's Sandoval who like points out the fact that like, if she decides at the end of the day not to cash their checks and like not to make them partners or take their money, that like she's still using their names and like,
yeah,
that they, like that she has, you know, not paid for any licensing of these, you know, like she's making like, yeah, like they deserve to have some piece of this, whether it be a, you know, upfront fee for using their names or a partnership. But like, it's weird for her to be like, I might not include you at all, but I'll just name the place Tom Tom.
Yeah. It seems like she's like stringing them along. And then she either, maybe she's like deciding no, because they're paying either way. It's like, it makes no sense. And it seems like an incredibly bad business deal. And as someone who's experienced like very bad business deals, I'm like so triggered by this. It like threw me into like a hot sweat session.
What I would love more than anything is to get like a forensic accountant and just sic them on the entire Vanderpump, like not like actually give them any like open the books kind of thing, but like just make them watch all the seasons of this and be like, how much money do these people have? And therefore, can you explain why they live in these apartments and why they wear these clothes? And also, what the hell is going on with Tom Tom? Because these are the big questions that everybody has about this series. It's like, what the hell is going on with the money of these people?
Yeah, I think we need to crowdfund a private investigator at this point. Like, I feel like that could very easily happen. And like, then we would finally have the answers we deserve, because things are not adding up. They have no contract. And then Lisa's also saying crazy things like, I've got a reputation for making some of the most beautiful restaurants around. And I'm like, in what fucking world are your restaurants some of the most beautiful restaurants around?
I also wrote down that exact line that she said, because I was like, that is hilarious. Like, so I've never been to, I don't live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I've not had the pleasure and opportunity to ever eaten a meal at Sir or any other, or Villa Rosa, or is it, no, that's where she lives, Villa Blanca.
Yeah, Villa Blanca, yeah, and then Villa Rosa is her house, yeah.
Tell from just purely television, like, they are not the most beautiful restaurants in the world.
No, it's like Lisa's never seen an episode of like Chef's Table, and also like has never dined at like an actual nice restaurant maybe in her life.
I have so many questions about her restaurant like empire other than these three restaurants that she owns in LA.
Oh, like the entire history of like how she and Ken made money, like how do they have millions and millions of dollars from like a restaurant industry where none of their restaurants are still open? Like, they had 27 restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, they're like richer than like the inventor of Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and like,
it's,
Buffalo Wild Wings has like 27 restaurants.
Yeah, like, it's like perplexing. Like, I mean, the restaurant business is like notoriously not a particularly good business, but like some people make money in it. And like, even like a Mario Batali type who like owns many restaurants is like, he's barely living their lifestyle, sort of, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's very bizarre. Like, what is going, like, my forensic accountant is going to get into this.
Yeah, I'm calling the police. Like, I've had enough. I've truly had enough. Jack says that he's ready to be a dad if that opportunity comes into play.
The part where he was like, my dad's spirit is inside me, or like, he sort of was like, I'm channeling my dad's spirit. I feel like he now lives inside of me. I was like, that's not how death works. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, not even in a like, I don't believe in ghost way, but like, that's not really how to process or deal with the death of a parent.
No.
Mm-mm. And this is like probably the meanest thing I'll ever say, but I feel like he's like a little bit overreacting to his dad's death.
Like, I mean,
I don't know, his dad had cancer, he was probably sick, it wasn't sudden, like he was sick.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure he was not a young man. This happens, lots of people,
everyone dies.
Yeah, like he's not the first person to lose a parent. Like, it's okay, Jax. Like, I understand you're sad.
This whole, the whole death, like, it just, it's obviously, like, very, very sad. And, like, I definitely feel bad for anyone that has, like, lost a parent. I, like, that's awful. So,
yeah, of course,
that being
of course.
Said,
very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That being said, this particular, like, the way everyone's reacting about this death, like, I just am having a lot of problems with. Like, Jax's, like, freakouts at Sheena are one thing, but then when he's saying, like, he's like, oh, when he died, like, Brittany was so there and she just like took over my entire life and took care of everything and like blah blah blah, that really freaked me out, because it was like, and this is like maybe the probably the worst thing I've ever said, but like, I feel like Brittany was just waiting for that moment to happen so that she could like swoop in and like find some sense of worth in this relationship. And like, and I,
yeah,
it just is like, everyone seems like they're dealing with this in like kind of a misguided way.
I don't necessarily think that like she was like waiting for old man Taylor to kick the bucket, but like, but certainly that's what ended up happening, is that like he finally saw her worth once she was able to like step up to the plate and like provide something for, you know, like,
yeah,
because he's always been so transactional in terms of like, well, I make the money, make me a sandwich, like,
mm-hmm,
that like he's sort of like, you know, who's pulling their weight in this relationship is so like, you know, he has such a like ledger board that like, I don't think ledger board's a word, but you know, he keeps a
no, I get
he keeps a ledger of like,
yeah, he keeps,
I make
tabs,
the money, so therefore you have to do this, and like da da da. And now he like finally sees like, oh well, she booked the flights for me when I was too sad to call the airline, and like she like took over and did all this stuff. Like, therefore now, like I can. But it's sort of like, I think in a healthy relationship, you would just be like, wow, that's so nice that this person did this. They were my rock in this time of trouble, just like I would be their rock in a time of trouble. Like, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I was more speaking to, is like the transactional nature, where it's like, oh, she just did the biggest thing in his mind that anyone could possibly do. But it's like, just because she did that, like, even with in her mind, like her thinking that, it's like kind of wrong, because it's like, you shouldn't have, it shouldn't have to be like, oh, I did this, so now I get the love.
Yeah,
like you
exactly
should, yeah. So we get into Sheena and Lala's like falling out, and we find out that Sheena's never asked Lala how she's doing. Like, Sheena just made it all about her after she got her Vegas show, and like Lala goes, when's the last time you asked me how I was doing? And then Sheena's like, it was definitely a couple months ago, like, which just like made me lol hard, because I can't, I feel like I'm always asking people how they're doing.
I mean, I feel like this is, I feel sympathetic again to Shayna. Like, is she living in Las Vegas? Is that the idea? Like, she's kind of away from all of them. Like, she's not in the mix. Like, she's out of town. Like, I don't know. She's doing her thing. Like, I don't know. It's like, she didn't do anything wrong other than, like, be slightly inattentive.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like Sheena is also the kind of person that it just is, like, all about her all the time, or, like, all about Rob all the time. And it's just, like, she doesn't have, like, she just doesn't have kind of that social grace of being able to like have a conversation with someone if it's not talking about something that has to do with her life.
You know, this just made me realize, do you think that is what works in the friendship with Ariana, that like Ariana has such a self-esteem problem that like she loves being with someone who never asks her how she is and like is so all about themselves?
In the same way, I think you're
thinks
yeah.
her own vagina is ugly.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I really do, because like even in the dynamic that happens when she like goes to see Sheena, when Sheena walks, like storms off to get her makeup done, it's just like it's kind of caretaking, and like it just is like she gets to pay attention to Sheena and like deal with all of Sheena's problems, but it never has to be turned back on herself. Mm-hmm. Sheena's and Rob's origin story was really incredible.
They had their first kiss at Disneyland.
Yeah. As the snow was falling. and then she says, like, Rob pulled away when the Tokamadera rumor started, and then they broke up 2 weeks after the show wrapped. And Queen Dodie was on it. She goes, manipulation at its finest.
So I have to say, I don't really understand how that's manipulation. And I also, like, I feel like there's a lot I don't understand about what was happening. Like, I don't understand if Shayna's theory is that, like, you guys fucked up my relationship. Or if her theory is, like, he was actually making out with some other girl and he was stringing me along for the show because he didn't want to break up with me during the season.
I think it's, like, a combination of all of it. I think she's still, like, processing it. But I feel like Rob probably did make out with another girl. Definitely. And then when that was about to get exposed, he was like, fuck, like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not going to be outed as, like, this dick on TV. So I'm just going to not deal with it. Like, not be there really for Sheena to, like, break up with her while we're filming, but also, like, not really be around so I can be held accountable for, like, my actions.
And I feel like that's, I mean, what's confusing is I don't think that that's necessarily manipulation 101. Or, like, is that manipulation? It's something bad. I'm just not sure manipulation is the right word for it.
No, I mean, I think it's kind of manipulative, because I think he did want a show to, like, he wanted a platform to kind of, like, be on, because it's, like, he was on the show. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Vanderpump Rules is the kind of, like, if you're on Vanderpump Rules, you're on fucking Vanderpump Rules. Like, you can act like you're better than the show, and you can, like, try and be kind of, like, a Veil Bloom about it. But, like, the facts remain that you decided to be on Vanderpump Rules. So, like,
yeah,
I think that he knew what he was doing to some extent. And then when things got a little, when he, like, started to get Vanderpumped, he was like, ugh, and then just kind of, like, it wasn't working anymore.
So there's a weird part where Lala is saying that Rob would only come hang out with them if Lala's man would text him to invite him there. Like,
yeah,
that he would blow them off unless Lala's man texted him and be like, come out and meet us. And I don't understand the implication of that. Is it that, like, he was trying to use, like, he was trying to get access to Lala's boyfriend as a, like, more important producer?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just, like, he had gone full Hollywood.
So he's just, like, the implication, he's just, like, a professional and social climber.
Yeah, he's just, like, Rob's looking out for Rob, first and foremost.
Rob.
I know. And Sheena says Rob broke her.
That's so sad. Which was really sad.
Yeah, it was sad.
And, like, I feel like that there was someone who was a guest on one of your recent podcasts who I feel like talked about this, how, like, when you, I think it was Tracy Morrison Egan, who is like
Tracy,
yeah. When you get out of a divorce and then you, like, jump into, like, another relationship right away and you're like, things are fine, and then, like, when that one ends, that's when everything comes crashing down.
Yeah,
I feel like that seems very much like that made sense. Like, that analysis, like, made sense in terms of what Shayna was saying.
Yeah, but, like, totally.
She wasn't broken with Shay, like. She moved on very quickly from Shay, and then, like, now she's actually, like, dealing with, like, being broken.
Yeah, and now she knows what it's like. Like, she's having to, like, come to terms with everything.
It's very sad. I feel very sad for her.
I know. I feel bad for her, but I'm also like work through it and stop being such a psycho, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. TBD. And then Jax flips out and he's like, you didn't, because everyone's like, well, why did Jax, like, why were you saying that Rob said he's not in love with Sheena when that's not really what he said? And it's like, well, that's like just Jax's like classic state of mind to begin with. But then he starts flipping out and he like accuses Sheena of not calling him when his father died and like spirals into like a coke rage.
Yeah, this is where like Jax's whole ruse of like, I've gone through a difficult thing and come out the other side a changed man, like completely falls apart. Like,
yeah,
he not only like is old, like it's not even old sex, he just becomes like a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And like,
he's a true monster.
Like, he's mad. Like, he's mad that she didn't go to the funeral. Like, I believe her when she says, like, I texted you. Like,
yeah.
And I kind of feel, to be honest, like, that's fine. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to text someone, like, when a family member dies to say something instead of calling them.
Yeah. I think he's just trying.
On your friendship, but like, a Jax and Sheena friendship, I think a text was fine.
I think he's just really trying to like get out of having to like take responsibility for being a liar. And like, and also it's just like he has so much unprocessed rage, like it has to come out at someone, and Sheena just is like the person that seems like the easiest person to rage out on.
Yeah, like I think he's like so mad about the Adam thing, although I feel like the Adam thing was like so fake that like,
yeah,
how could he even be mad about it?
Yeah. And I think also it's like, because Sheena's like, oh my God, like we were just in Vegas. We were at somewhere in Vegas and he was high as fuck saying, I love you so much. This is great. Which I basically was like, oh my God, is she like admitting? I like feel like she was talking high as fuck on like ecstasy or like some sort of amphetamine. Like I got the sense that when you're like, I love you, it's like you're either on blow or like ecstasy. But like, so Jax is now pulling this other, like this totally backhanded move of being like, flipping out on her for literally no reason.
Yeah.
Or just as like a manipulation.
Like it was really crazy. And like he's like, she storms off like to the bathroom and he's like going nuts. Like,
yeah. And like, just continues to scream and scream.
And like he keeps like, he's like, she can't keep a man. Like, which is like a really weird, like it's a very bad insult for Jax Taylor to say, particularly, you know, like,
yeah,
like
totally,
you're not good at relationships. Like, what are you talking? Like, it's also such a, it's such a misogynistic thing to be like, she has a problem because she can't keep a man, you know?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's also like, I wish that Sheena could have more of like a backbone, because it's like she reacts like she's so reactive to everything he says that it's like it like all she'd have to do is be like, shut the fuck up and like throw something back in his face. And but like he just knows exactly where to like hit someone, yeah, to like disable them.
Like if he was doing this to like, you know, like Katie or Lala or like any of the other girls, I think like they would.
Oh, just, Lala would not be. Yeah,
like, Lala's even like an outlier. Like that, she would not put up with that for a second. But like even like Katie or like Stassi or Kristen, like they wouldn't deal with it. But like, yeah, like Shayna's like very weak in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he? I'm trying to remember. Was he the one who called her Divorso?
Yeah.
I love Divorso.
He loves a Divorso burn.
It's like, that's a Divorso.
It's the best. We got into some really good stuff.
There was, you know, there was a lot of issues. I mean, like, I feel like we didn't even fully cover the Jax rage thing at the end, but it's like, what more can you even say? Like, ranting. Like, it wasn't even words were being said. It was just like a blubbering mess. And like, it was like just a complete change from the beginning of the episode where he was like really in a good place, like being sort of like thoughtful and introspective and like, you know, being sort of like accountable for what he did and like really seemed like, wow, like this is, he's you know, he's sort of like, you know, being like a good guy. And like, it seems like he has an accurate perspective on the world now. And then like 30 minutes later, he's flying off the handle.
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes back to like severe, like intimacy issues. Like he had like a really vulnerable and real moment. And then immediate, like he can't actually like handle that. And so the only way to neutralize that vulnerability is to like immediately like flip out and like punish someone.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen on like the next two episodes? Like I'm trying to remember like what even like what has been left to discuss more of, like what more are they going to drill into?
I think that they're going to get to the bottom of the James and Kristen of it all. And like it will come out that they slept together. And Billy Lee and Stassi will have a face off. And yeah, I don't know what else.
Is there any, who else would like come on, like guest appear other than Billy Lee? I'm trying to think.
I feel like Peter will come out and give drinks to everyone.
Oh my God, so sad. Poor Peter.
Yeah, that's like his classic role in all of this.
Peter.
And then who else? I hope Raquel like comes out and does a twirl, but I don't think we'll get to see Raquel.
Like me, I mean, yeah, like Jeremy, I feel like he's not really necessarily to like the Billy Lee story.
Yeah, I don't think Jeremy's going to get a moment. He's like not very dynamic on camera.
Yeah.
Like we don't need to hear from him. I hope Carter comes out.
Yeah, I'm sort of interested to know more about Carter. I would love to see like Carter and James like yell at each other or like some of the other. I mean, we're not going to see a Patrick, right?
No, I don't think we'll get to see a Patrick. I think Patrick's done.
Yeah, it was
like
nice.
He's burned the bridge.
And it was nice to see Stassi talk about like when I went back, when I saw those episodes, I saw how bad that was. And like, I didn't like the person that I was. And like, you know, that was really like touching to be like, wow, like, I'm happy for Stassi now. Like, she was in a terrible relationship and now she's out of it and she saw.
I'm glad that she was aware and had that moment and like she deserves love and like she gets it.
Yeah.
To some extent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being my guest today. This was like amazing.
I am just so happy that I came on this wonderful podcast that I enjoy listening to all the time. I am so happy that I got a chance to talk for an hour about more about Vanderpump Rules. This is personally, I'm living my dream.
Good. That makes two of us because I've been following you on Twitter for a long time and I was like, gosh, she's so like funny and smart. Like I need like some sort of connection. So now Pump Rules is like the tie that binds everyone together.
I feel like it's a real like community of Pumpheads. So I have my own. I've been very happy to I recently joined the Facebook group for this podcast. Very excited.
Oh, good. Yeah. There's a lot happening in there.
Yeah. I was on my own journey in search of a Vanderpump community. So a while ago, I had created a Slack group because I use Slack a lot at work. And I was like, it's already open on my computer. I would love to just hop in and talk about Vanderpump with people. So I have like a little, it's not that active, unfortunately.
Facebook group is like basically as active as like a very active Slack.
Yeah.
There's like constant updates and everything. I mean, I'm sure you see. So wait, can people join the Slack group or
they can? It's weirdly like the way Slack works is like it's not really easy to make it like actually open to the public. Like you can't go to a website and join. But if you want, you can DM me on Twitter and I'll add you.
Love. Just prepare yourself.
Just DM me.
I love that like we're creating a community of people that are like not doing their jobs and instead like at work are actively DMing about Vanderpump
like,
Rules.
I need like a multimedia experience on all platforms. Like I need to tweet about it. I need to be in Slack. I need to be in a Facebook group. Like I need to talk about it on a podcast. I feel like yeah. I need
No, it's like you have possible. To process it.
Yeah.
You can't just like, you cannot watch the show and like internalize everything. Yeah. Like you need to like find your people and like hash it out.
Yeah. And it's been really like wonderful to discover who in my life watches the show, and it's like sometimes surprising. But it's a beautiful thing that like only some people can understand, you know?
Yeah. It's truly beautiful. Well, thank you again, and you're welcome back literally anytime.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, that's all. Bye. This episode of the Sexy Unique podcast was brought to you by the following premium sponsors, Meredith Good and Lori Wheat. Thanks to you guys, it's all happening.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.